WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There were mostly peaceful protests across the country over the weekend after the Memphis Police Department released body cam video of Tyre Nichols beating at the hands of five officers during a traffic stop. He died 3 days later. Memphis Church Pastor Gilbert Washington.
We're praying for that young man's family, for his loved ones, for his friends. They're hurting. And we're hurting as well.
CBS's Jared Hill.
A February 17th bond arraignment hearing has been scheduled for the five ex-officers involved, according to Shelby County online court records. Each faces multiple charges, including second-degree murder.
Officials in northwestern Pakistan believe a suicide bomber targeted a mosque in Peshawar today, killing at least 27 worshippers and wounding as many as 147 others. The BBC's Caroline Davies.
A police official told the BBC that part of the mosque's wall collapsed with the force of the blast. Lady Reading Hospital in Peshawar has declared an emergency. They told the BBC that they were still receiving those injured in the explosion. Unverified images on local media show half a wall caved in. The mosque covered in bricks and debris as people clamber over the rubble to escape.
In Cairo today, camera snapping away as Secretary of State Blinken met with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Blinken says he raised concerns about human rights issues ahead of a meeting in Jerusalem with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to discuss a new surge of Israeli-Palestinian violence. The Chiefs and the Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl.
Racing around the edge, Scott is in! Touchdown, Philadelphia!
Philly crushed the 49ers 31-7 to win the NFC Championship on Fox. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni.
This is something we all dream about, and we get to do it because, you know, we did it better than anybody else in the NFC this year.
The Chiefs beat the Bengals 23-20 to take the AFC Championship. Super Bowl 57, a week from Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden will go head-to-head over the nation's debt ceiling when they meet Wednesday. Republicans insist on budget cuts before they raise the borrowing limit. Speaker McCarthy telling CBS's Face the Nation.
I want to make sure we're protected in our defense spending, but I want to make sure it's effective and efficient. I want to look at every single dollar we're spending, no matter where it's being spent. I want to eliminate waste wherever it is.
The president insists negotiating over raising the debt ceiling could trigger a recession. No school today in Woburn, Massachusetts. Teachers like Eric Scarborough are on strike.
It's unfortunate that we have to do this, but you get to a point where you've been pushed too far.
S&P futures down 35. Dow futures off 205. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. The Portage County Board Committee of the Whole meeting will take place on Tuesday, January 31st at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. Space will be limited for this meeting, so the public viewing area will be in Conference Room 5 on the third floor of the Portage County Annex Building. Mid-State Technical College has announced its Dean's List for the 2022 fall semester. The list recognizes students who are enrolled with 6 or more credits and have earned a minimum grade point average of 3.75 during the semester. The full list is posted on the college website at mstc.edu. After a big dumping of snow this weekend, snowmobile trails are now open throughout Wisconsin. Some trails are not groomed, so local snowmobile groups say to be careful. Remember that no ice is safe ice. Lakes, ponds, and marshes that look safe may not be frozen. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Mainly clear skies overnight with a low of 16 below. Winds out of the west 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 12. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 3 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 4 below.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news talk and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Dear Sam, anything blowing up in my kitchen if I decide to homebrew?
I think the worst thing that can happen is probably, you know, some exploding bottles.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Monday! It is almost the end of January, January 30th, 2023. Welcome to the snow globe. I got stuck. This morning, I almost did not make it to Waukesha.
No kidding.
Because this is one of those reminders when I haven't been back long enough and I haven't been an adult working and living through winter for long enough, because we finally got a big dump of snow. And I went to leave my driveway this morning, forgetting to look that the snow plow had come again and left a big pile of snow in our driveway, despite the fact that we had shoveled yesterday. And so luckily my husband was still home and helped shovel me and push me out, and I am here on time.
I think they get points. I think snow plow drivers get points.
Points for what?
For blocking people in.
You think that's part of the game?
You know how we play, at least in radio stations, we would play different bingo games. Like at State Fair, if you were broadcasting live from State Fair and there would be boxes that you're trying to check, you know, people buying dozen cream puffs that they probably shouldn't have. And I think snowplow drivers have a bingo card.
Maybe.
Just to keep things interesting.
Exactly. And so I made it here. We're alive. We're going to get started. We have a great week of shows planned. Later today, we're going to have Alan Borsick join us, who is currently a senior fellow at Marquette Law School doing policy. But he worked at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for 30 years, a big chunk of that being the education beat reporter, and still writes pretty frequently for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel different pieces on education. And so I thought, with what a central role schools and education is going to play, not only in budget negotiations for this year, but also we have a ton of school board elections coming up, having such a expert as him on to kind of lay the foundation and kind of explain some of the things that may be more policy wonky than any of us typically wrap our head around when it comes to education. He will be here at 12:30 to talk to us about that. And then we're gonna have some fun in the third hour. Funny hour. I think it's gonna stick.
I like it.
It's sticky.
The more I hear it, the more I like it.
The more it's ridiculous. It feels fitting. So thank you, Greg Bach. But for this hour, you know, we didn't talk about it really at all last week. And then Friday came and it felt like we couldn't at least not talk about it this morning. And so I think for the better part of this hour, we're going to be talking about Tyree Nichols and the videos that got released on Friday and where we go from here, because I didn't watch it. Jane, did you choose to watch?
Yeah, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different ways I want to go with this, but let's start with who he was, because I think what was good, albeit very sad, was how many videos I saw circulating instead of the video of him being beaten to death. And there was one in particular. He was a big skateboarder.
Right.
And so videos of him just skateboarding in the park. And I think videos of his different photography and people sharing his photography website. Because from everything known, it seems like he was a really decent, average human being who worked at FedEx with his stepdad. He was a father of a 4-year-old. I read different reports on him and how important it was to him for him to be a really good dad, knowing that he was a young dad. He lived in Sacramento for a while before the pandemic and then moved back to Memphis to be closer to his mom. He had a tattoo of his mom's name. And he was literally on his way home from taking pictures of the sunset.
And he was just blocks from home.
He was 80 yards away from his house. And it is, and I chose not to watch the video because I think as soon as last week, I said, I don't do torture scenes in movies, in like fictional movies. And so watching a real life video of monsters getting off on beating someone to a pulp, like I can read about it. I don't actually need to see it. And I understand the reasoning behind his family wanting it to be released.
Oh, I do too.
Because, I mean, it's the same thing as far as Emmett Till's mother wanting an open casket, right? And the reality of how brutal and how monstrous this situation was. And the fact that they had the audacity, because it's one thing, you know, with this call for more body cams and accountability, they didn't even turn their body cams off. The audacity and the power trip that they were on, that they thought they would just get away with this, that they could leave their body cams on, is unbelievable.
The other thing that jumped out to me that I saw yesterday for the first time was that the 5 officers, and now there's been a 6th who has also, I believe, been fired, but those 5 officers who have lost their jobs, they've only been on the force for 2 to 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. So they're relatively new. And because of that relative newness, any changes in policing and police training, they should have been undergoing that.
Well, it's also, there's obviously this was the most talked about story over the weekend. I mean, at least for me, I couldn't open Twitter or Instagram or anything without seeing commentary or new articles about this.
Right.
And a lot of it, or one of the comments I saw fairly often is how ill-trained the police even seemed like they were. Like they accidentally pepper sprayed each other. In 13 minutes, he was given 71 different commands.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
Most of the time, and they were conflicting. And there were things that he couldn't even follow. It's like, get on the ground when he was already on the ground.
Right.
And so, I think what's struggling right now, what I'm struggling with right now, is to a certain extent, there's been some accountability. Five, if not six, 12, five have been fired and charged with, I mean, not only just second degree murder, but kidnapping. And what was the other? It's three different charges that the five police officers have gotten. Two more who were on the scene have not been fired yet, but are being investigated and are on leave. And the entire task force that these guys were on, called Scorpion,
right,
has been disbanded. Scorpion, which stands for Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace. It's like a dumb name. Peace in our neighborhoods. What a ridiculous, ironic name.
Moniker.
Yeah. To restore peace. And this is what people on that task force were doing. But already the U.S. Department of Justice has opened an investigation to determine if the officers violated Nichols' civil rights. Memphis Police Chief Davis has promised to fully cooperate. So it's like, to a certain extent, it doesn't seem like anyone's necessarily being protected. The police union, I've heard, is cooperating. But yet it also simultaneously doesn't feel like it's enough. And I think that's where I'm left, is the, because I think this opens up so many conversations about, because the five officers were also black, there's this like, we're so used to this being the other way around, right, where it is a white officer and a black body and a black person that is being beaten, shot, you know, pulled over for without cause. Because right now, not only, there's no proof from any dash cams that he was even driving recklessly.
Because that was what they said originally.
And this is what makes me wonder what will end up coming out as far as, did one of the cops know this guy?
Oh.
Because that ended up coming out with Derek Chauvin and George Floyd. They worked together. Because this feels like, how brutal this sounds like it was, it feels like there was more there than just a random, or can people actually be that vicious?
You're kind of saying that it seems like it was personal.
Yes. I mean, I have no idea. I haven't read anything that it alludes to that. But how does this happen? How do you not, like, why this guy, why this car, if there's no proof so far that there's been any sort of proof that shows that he was actually driving recklessly? He didn't, when they say he didn't comply, it was after they were already like tasing him and beating him that he tried to get away because he was 80 yards away from his house and calling for his mother. And it's just, what else was he supposed to do?
And also, just so many disturbing aspects of this. No one said anything. And there were more than the five who were involved, because more officers ended up on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And no one said, okay, maybe, you know, he's down. It's enough. Let's go.
I know. All right. Well, we're going to keep talking about this. If you would like to join the conversation, you are welcome to do so. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. WAUK, 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. We are having a tough but necessary conversation to start this Monday morning on the Tyree Nichols video that was released on Friday, all four of them. It was a combination of body cameras and another camera that was on a utility pole. And I did not watch it. My husband watched it, and my sister-in-law watched it on Friday, and they both were like, "Yeah, I didn't." I don't know if they regretted watching it, but they were pretty shooken up after seeing it. I totally get why the family thought that this was so important, and you know they did call for
calm,
and it sounds like it was. For the most part. I mean, I don't know if you saw any other reports than I did, but certainly there were protests. I think there was across at least a dozen cities, certainly in Memphis. There was protests over the weekend. And in Memphis, they temporarily blocked highways. And I think 1,000 Georgia National Guards were activated in Atlanta. But as far as I can tell, I didn't hear of anything becoming violent or destructive. And there was heavy police presence, but as far as protests kind of staying in line with making your voice heard instead of burning anything or hurting anyone. There was a protest in Milwaukee. It was sponsored by Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression, along with some other groups. And there was family members of other Black men who have been murdered by cops in Milwaukee, and they gathered at Red Arrow Park and then marched down State Street and Wisconsin Avenue and then stopped in front of the Milwaukee Police Department headquarters and made speeches and call for justice. And it's so horrific. And I think the mistake here is to once again say that this was just bad apples. I saw once a great explanation of really taking the bad apple metaphor to its logical conclusion, which is when you have fruit that is rotting, you remove it as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Because the rot spreads to the other fruit. And if you don't remove it, the whole batch will get ruined. And if you, it goes to the logical conclusion in the same thing in police departments or any position of power where the ethos is you protect one another.
Right.
No matter what wrongdoing happens, you don't snitch. Your police union goes to the mat for you. And you can largely do whatever you want.
Texter from the 414 checking in. This beating brings to mind, if there hadn't been video, would we ever have heard of this happening? Makes me wonder if it's like this in 2023. How bad was it before we had body cams? I believe many beatings and killings were done yesteryear because police were able to get away with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been said multiple times as far as the... Because that was what was so shocking. I was pretty young, but with Rodney King, and that being before everyone had a phone, and so it really was one of the first times that such an obscene beating of someone happened and was caught on camera, right? And there's just something, like, what is it in people, whether you're a police officer or anyone that is capable of that amount of violence in such an unfair fight?
I heard various other talking heads talking about this, and one implied that it's peer pressure, and you're not going to be the one to go against the group and say, stop this. So for the five of them who were there, because it takes courage. It takes courage to say, no, this is wrong. And for someone to step up and say, no, this is wrong.
And it's just like group, like mob mentality.
It's groupthink.
Groupthink.
It just becomes groupthink.
And because I'm a very nonviolent person. And so it's hard to put myself in their shoes or any shoes that could ever think to like throw haymakers at someone who can barely stand up by themselves.
Who's on the ground. Kicking people in the head who are on the ground.
And I think it, you know, and it's like, is it a chicken or the egg situation? Is it someone who is prone to that kind of violence, who is drawn to be in a position of power? And there's no real mechanisms to keep someone like that from having a position of power? Or is it something that you become, you know, people become a police officer thinking that they want to do good and serve their community, and then because of the
atmosphere
and the environment and the culture of protecting one another and the culture of groupthink and mob mentality and stuff infects people? And I've never been a cop. I don't know that many cops. I think, you know, I've met some, but I don't have anyone in my life who is like someone close who is a cop. But I think it's, once again, we're in the situation where, what now? Beyond the ramifications that will happen for the officers involved, which is happening, does this go back to Congress and actually have any real, like, forward momentum? We're going to talk about that more when we come back. If you have input or thoughts on this, 844-967-2789. This is Ask Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
After I came home from Iraq, I could still hear the booms. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
Thanks to DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Saving UW-Richland's campus was the focal point of a meeting on Thursday at the Pippin Conference Center at the college. Community members, current and former faculty and students made their case to keep the campus open. They say the loss of the full-time dean, recruiter, and international coordinator really hurt their ability to attract and retain students. While the future of the campus rests in the hands of the Board of Regents, Senator Howard Marklin and Representative Tony Kurtz encouraged the community to make their voices heard before the budget talks this spring and summer. The Republican flat tax may not make it to this year's budget debate. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells the Upfront program on Milwaukee's Channel 12 he understands Governor Evers would veto a flat tax. Voss says as long as lawmakers cut taxes, he doesn't really mind how. Wisconsin has a $7 billion budget surplus. The governor delivers his budget address on February 15th. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Mainly clear skies overnight with a low of 16 below. Winds out of the west 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 12. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 3 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 4 below.
And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And we've been talking this hour about the Tyree Nichols videos and the response to those videos, the ramifications for the police officers who have been charged. They've been released. They made bond, but they have been charged. And there is now going to be an investigation from the U.S. Justice Department. And I certainly don't think this will be a blip in the news cycle. I hope it's not. But it's interesting as we you know, a different major detail in this story compared to the ones we've seen you know, it's been 11 years since, I guess Trayvon Martin wasn't a police officer, but it wasn't killed by a police officer, but in the two decades, I think, of this feeling like it happens, a big story like this happens multiple times a year, where someone who wasn't doing anything gets murdered. And I remember, because this has brought up the conversation, and because the five officers involved were also Black, the conversation of how much of this is because the uniform is racist, not the individual people. And I remember after the Virginia, University of Virginia Tiki Torch
March.
That was 2017, 2018. That really bugged me. And so I ended up out of my own money paying to go do this 3-day anti-racism course.
Oh, wow.
In New York. And everyone else in the course was like mandated to be there because they were teachers or social workers, but I was just voluntarily there. And it was fascinating. I learned so much. And part of the policing, and policing came up as part of this, as part of the conversation. And the trainers, the people who were teaching the course, even back then said the same thing. And in that communities of color, if you're going to get stopped by a police officer, you would actually prefer for them to be white.
Really?
Because if, especially in a situation where they being the officers of color have something to prove.
Oh, to their department.
To their department. And that was the first time I had heard that phrase, was in that training course that I went through, which was that it's not the individual cops that are racist, it's the uniform. And even in this conversation that's now happening, experts say that the victim's race plays a way bigger part than the officer's race when looking at altercations with the police. And so we're back at the point of what can we do about how we keep communities safe. And there's now renewed calls for Congress to address police reform. And so on the Sunday shows, yesterday, there was different officials urging the revival of police reform legislation. And because it kind of stalled out prior to, I guess, last year's election, but there's different calls for Congress to address police reform and to revisit the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Cause that, while it passed the House, never is stalled out in the Senate.
Right.
And so that bill included bans on chokeholds, bans on no-knock warrants for all federal law enforcement agencies, a national registry of police abuses, and it made the process easier to sue and prosecute officers.
It's never going to happen.
I know. But it all seems reasonable, right? It all seems not insane asks for change. What do you say?
I just find it hard to believe that individual police departments are going to take the dictates from the federal government. It's going to all come back to states' rights.
Well, and that's what happened, yeah. Right? So the bill was stalled in the Senate because Republicans in the Senate saying that federal mandates were not the answer. They proposed a softer approach at the time, like giving incentives to state and local police departments to enact their own reforms. But it's, you know, some of the reforms I saw, that's, you know, the body cams were on.
Right. And these...
Did body cams do anything?
No. Except give proof of what happened. And as we said a little bit earlier in the show, these five officers were only on the force, from what I saw yesterday, from 2 to 5 years. So whatever new training has begun or began 10 years ago, they should have been part of those classes.
Yeah. But... I mean, the truth is, as we add this to the list of popular legislation that is not moving, because as of 2022, this is from Gallup, which is similar to Pew Research, so it's a lot of polling and public opinion. So half of Americans support major police reform, which I was actually kind of surprised by.
I am too.
So half support major reform. 39% agree with minor changes. And then only 11% say no changes needed. So clearly public opinion is in the favor of this isn't working.
Right.
And obviously the racial breakdown, you see a disparity. Not even that huge, though. I mean, even as white adults, only 44% believe that their major changes need to happen, and 43% believe minor changes need to happen, with only 13% say none. And, you know, so the different in this, the different proposals that two thirds of people support include requiring officers to have good relations with the community, changing management practices so officers with multiple incidents of abuse of power are not allowed to serve. That seems like an obvious one to me. Changing management practices so officer abuses are punished, promoting community-based alternatives such as violence intervention, ending stop and frisk, changing legal practices so that police officers face legal action for abuse of power or unnecessary harm. So those, all of those, two-thirds of Americans can get behind. And then for the policies that are more mixed, where roughly 4 in 10 Americans favor, include eliminating police unions, eliminating officer enforcement of nonviolent crimes, so traffic violations, sleeping in public, loitering, substance possession, which again, how does a traffic stop end like this?
It shouldn't. But again, I don't want there to be more reckless driving. We have enough. And it's getting worse. So preventing police from stopping reckless drivers, I don't think is a good idea. I just don't. Not that you should end up dead, but you also shouldn't be blowing through red lights and crashing into light poles and killing innocent motorists and pedestrians.
Well, it's hard because that is a different scenario than what happened here, right? Like, this was a situation where there is no proof that he was driving recklessly.
Right.
And this still ended up like this.
But I do hear this, you know, cops shouldn't be involved in policing traffic. Well, then who's going to do it? Who's going to stop these people from blasting through intersections? Going 80 miles an hour.
I don't
have citizen arrests? That's not going to work.
Well, I don't know. But the third one in that group was removing military weapons and equipment from police forces, which I also agree with as far as I don't know why they need military-grade
weapons.
Equipment. But then the proposals that don't have a ton of support is reducing the budget of police departments and shifting the money to social programs, abolishing police departments entirely, and providing only non-lethal weapons to police forces, which in other countries, they do that. Like in France, the average cop doesn't just carry a firearm that can kill you. They carry like things that it can hurt you.
Probably stun guns and stuff
stun
like
guns,
tasers.
But it's also, it's like these like pellet guns, where if you get one to the face, it'll blind you. But if you get a bullet to the face, you are dead. So, you know, I don't know if this will actually lead to anything. It seems like no one is defending this video. Maybe Jesse Waters is the only person I saw say anything that was like, of course you said that. He said something along those, well, I didn't see anything lethal.
Or death blow. He didn't see a death blow. And then some others on that same network were blaming the police chief.
Saying what?
That this is what happens when a woman is in charge and then discipline and discipline isn't maintained. Kind of aspersions like that.
I mean,
is that surprising?
No. It's just now that's like a totally different topic to go down. It's like they sit around in a room. They're like, what is the most off base colored comment you think we could get away with? Like, it feels like they take bets with each other of what they're going to say and how it's going to, like, how far they can push the envelope from common decency and logic and be like, I'll get away with it. Watch. Well,
I don't think you're far off. I think they have meetings with their producers and they literally throw things at the wall to see what they can make stick and outrage people the most. There is a science to what they do, and outrage sells, and outrage makes you money. And so I'm sure they have very specific planning meetings for how they will address and how they will frame certain stories to work the most to their advantage.
You're probably right. I mean, it's like this exists in more ways than just the power of Fox News. As far as I see it on social media a fair amount, there's just, I actually saw it as if for something as stupid as like makeup influencers and the drama that fuels them. So this started with YouTube. We're really off topic, but as far as just the attention competition for eyeballs, of you're constantly needing to feed the content machine
new clicks,
get new clicks to get people interested, to get people talking, even on the like micro level of individual influencers and content creators who say things that they don't believe in just to get the engagement and the hate comments and the sharing. Can you believe this person said that?
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. And like, we fall prey, and I feel less, whatever, the people who are on TikTok or whatever, it's just so dangerous at the level of Fox because there's so many people who believe it that, and then use those exact same talking points and take them to their dinner table.
Right.
But for the most part, like in the different newsletters and everything that I was reading, as far as that tries to show both sides, like one of the newsletters I subscribe to is called The Flip Side. And even in that one, both left and right were like, this is horrendous. So we're going to wrap this up and probably end this conversation here and move on to some more fun things, including in the third hour. Speaking of a ridiculous thing that was said on that network, we're bringing back the Eminem conversation because Washington Post, well, one, turns out we were all duped. And two, there's an unbelievable satire that was written about it that I'm going to do a dramatic reading of. But that's not till the third hour. So you got to stick around until then. For now, we're going to talk Super Bowl when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Let's lighten it up, shall we? That was a pretty heavy first hour to start the week with, but it felt like it felt irresponsible to not spend some time talking about it.
Absolutely.
But I'm not sure. I don't know where we go from here. But in a happier world, the Super Bowl is set. We're still not in it. We're not there. We're still not in the Super Bowl.
Yay.
But that is okay. I mean, I think watching Rihanna do the halftime show will be my Super Bowl, because this is the first time that she's performing live in 5 years. I think there's a lot of people who are very excited. You're not a Rihanna fan?
Whatever.
What?
It's fine.
Who would you get excited about?
Pink.
I do like Pink too.
That would excite me.
Why? Rihanna does nothing?
The only song I know of hers is Umbrella, and I think it's, I don't like it.
That's the only song in like 20 years that you know by her?
Yeah.
We're going to play some Rihanna. I'm going to start with sending you Rihanna music for bumper music.
Okay.
And we'll get you into it. Yeah. Umbrella is definitely not my, of her canon, not high on that list, but I
mean, I like the sentiment of the song. Come under my umbrella and I'll watch over you and all that stuff. That's lovely. I just, the umbrella Ella thing, I think, led many people to misspell the word umbrella.
Oh, all right. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles will face off against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And I also was looking at this morning, and I realized, I was like, I think the numerals are getting too high. I definitely had to copy and paste LVII and be like, what is this? Then it's 57.
Yeah, the Roman numerals are just a little cumbersome.
How many people do you think naturally can just, like, because they've studied Roman numerals enough, can look at any Roman numeral combination and be like, yep, I know what that is?
There are like 10.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I was like, am I an idiot for having to look this up?
Oh gosh, I wouldn't be able to do that either.
Because the L is 5? Because it's LV.
V is 5.
But it's 57. So it's the L has to be the 50, except whatever the 50 number, because then the 5 and the 2 I's equals the 7. Right? And so this is where my mind went this morning. I was like, wait, what does the L stand for? And why does this tell me that it's 50? If only because you get used to it once a year, each year the Super Bowl comes. Is like the only standard time that we see numerals over 6, unless you just have a college outline that is insane.
Roman numeral system only has 7 symbols.
So what's the L?
L is 50.
Oh, it is 50.
L is 50, X is 10, V is 5, C is 100, D is 500, M is 1,000.
So 49... would have been like 4 X's?
Yeah. 4 X's and a 5 and a 1. We are the wrong show to try and figure this out.
But that's okay. We need a palate cleanser from the first hour, so I'm fine with this.
Okay. watched Jane and Kristen do really bad math.
Do really bad Roman numeral math.
Yeah, great. Best of for next year.
Well, yesterday, I mean, this is for sports fans, but I feel like you'll appreciate this because this is... So the Eagles beat the 49ers 31-7, but it, like, the 49ers basically had no quarterback. So I wasn't watching the game. We had gotten back from the Dells. I was getting some work done ready for today. And I go downstairs. I'm like, wait, why is this such a blowout? So their original first string quarterback was hurt. So then Jimmy Garoppolo, prettiest man in the NFL, was playing. Then he was hurt. So then the third string quarterback, who's a rookie and who was playing really well, Joe Purdy, then he got hurt in yesterday's game.
Oh, my.
So there was one more guy who then got hurt. So then Joe Purdy was going back in, even though he had, like, nerve damage in his elbow. So he couldn't even hold on to the ball. So it was just, it was not necessarily the NFC Championship that kept people on their toes. Versus the Kansas City Cincinnati Bengals game, which came down to a single field goal with 3 seconds left on the clock, which was a much more fun game to watch. But unfortunately, Joseph, that means Joseph Burrow is going home instead of having a repeat of making it back to the Super Bowl. But now we have a week off. There's a Pro Bowl this weekend, and then we'll have the Super Bowl 2 weeks from yesterday with Rihanna, with the Eagles. Do you have any skin? Will you watch? Do you even watch the Super Bowl? If like the Packers aren't in it, which hasn't happened in over 10 years?
I mean, I'll have it on, but it's really just background.
Do you get excited for the commercials?
But you can see all the commercials ahead of time now online. It used to be a thing. It used to be an event where you would wait to watch the Super Bowl because that's when they displayed their new ads. And now you can see them a week ahead of time. So you don't even have to tune in if you want, if that's your only thing.
And they'll be distributed and shared. Which ones were the best ones?
Absolutely.
I'm sure I can guarantee you right now, we will probably do a segment the Monday after the Super Bowl talking about the commercials.
The best commercials. Of course we will. But again, we could do it the Friday before the Super Bowl.
It's just interesting. Yes, I guess we could. Not all of them. They don't release. Think about the entire game. They don't release. They release some of the biggest ones.
The big ones, yes.
But it'll be interesting because I feel like last year, crypto had such a big presence,
yes,
in the commercials.
And like, how many of those are left?
Yes, because I'm pretty sure the one with Larry David, where it was him doing his Larry David thing of being very skeptical about stuff, and it was like throughout time, him being the guy in the meeting saying, "I don't know about that,"
right?
I don't like it. And then obviously that thing goes on to be very, very successful, and it was for FTX, which is now. Oh, what a year, a difference. And so I'm trying to think of what will replace crypto. Well, I'm willing to bet that we won't see crypto at all. I don't think it's been a good enough year to be.
Nobody's going to be shouting things from the rooftops. That's for sure.
I'm trying to think what would be like the newest industry that could potentially make. I think last year was also when Uber Eats had the commercial with like Trevor Noah eating pencils and stuff, and no one got it. Do you remember that one?
I don't.
So it was basically trying to promote Uber Eats that they deliver more stuff besides food, so they can like pick you up stuff from Walgreens or I don't know, like stuff for your house. And so the commercial was like him, and I mean, I think maybe Leslie Jones was also in it, and a variety of different celebrities, and they were eating like inanimate, like non-edible things. And everyone was like, what's happening?
Why is this funny?
But we're still talking about it a year later. I'm trying to think of what else stuck out from last year. Let us know. What stuck out from commercials last year that a year later you can still remember? I just listed a couple. I'm trying to think of anything else. 844-967-2789. When we come back, a conversation around the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We're 3 weeks away from the primary, so we're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.